This is 101.3, The Game. The text line is amazing. Now you can yell at us all show long without having to actually speak to us. Text in now at 802-655-6672. It's The Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
Weird. You've got a screen.
Oh, nobody knows that we're starting this show now. For all they know, we've been on for the last 2 hours, and they've just been listening to Red Sox baseball. That's all they know.
Red Sox baseball.
They have no idea that we haven't been doing a three-hour radio show. I was just going to come back and play it off and go, hey, if you're just tuning in now, you missed the best show. You missed the best 2 hours ever, for crying out loud.
We've had the last three standing presidents on the show.
Tom Brady was in here as well, in studio.
Brady was here.
Yes. By the way, I was at Orange Theory real quick. Orange Theory Fitness, I know we're short on time. And the first thing Aaron says to me was, I got Patrick Sharp's phone number.
Aaron who?
Aaron Miller.
Okay, tell the rest of the audience.
So
Aaron Boone?
My best friend. So I go, give me the number. He's like, I'm just kidding. I go, don't you ever do that to me again. I was about to throw down with him, put him in a headlock, start swinging at him. Don't tell me you got Patrick Sharp's number and not give it to me.
You know he's just one alumni directory away from it, though.
I know that. If he can get, I'm sure he could probably get it from me. I'll harass him for like the next couple of weeks to see if I get it from him.
Once more, are you just going to stop the embargo you have and just let me give you the email address?
I want the number. I want the number.
Why don't you just take what you can get?
By the way, I ripped one of the bands today at Orange Theory Fitness.
Okay, the bands being the rubber things that you put around your arms.
I snapped it.
Because you're so fat?
No, not because I'm so fat, because I'm just
is
so...
Is that the answer?
Wow, I'm glad you said that.
I mean, it's either you're so fat or you're so strong and just chiseled. I mean, one of the two.
We know that.
It was you put it around your ankles and you had to open and close your legs. And I just ripped that thing because I'm getting this so muscular.
Yeah, I barely recognize you.
And Leah's like, oh my God, did you just rip that? I'm like, my middle name is Hulk. People are looking at me like, wow, he's just like
that
fit.
Must be the one that I had almost ripped this class before.
I don't really like, by the way, we talked about this yesterday. Now that our computers in front of us are raised completely up, all I can see is Arnie's head. All I can see is your...
We're raising a little bit more than you can see my face.
Your chiseled body.
All I can see is Arnie's chin. I can't see his actual eyes, and he can't see mine.
I told you this before the show. I'm thoroughly embarrassed that my son spent $270 on a Gucci t-shirt.
That is ridiculous.
Out in Italy.
I haven't spent $270 on clothing my entire life combined.
I don't spend $270 on a suit from Macy's. Yeah. I don't even spend $270 on
Rich,
that.
What's a suit?
Rich is wearing the same suit that he went to communion in 8th grade.
That's
or something.
$27.
There it is. Boston Bruins, Stanley Cup champs 2011.
Yeah.
Got the shirt on.
You got the 13 shirt?
I am ready.
Our three outfits don't come out to $270. Oh. And he's buying one Gucci t-shirt? I said, I don't even want to see that Gucci t-shirt on you. Make me sick. All right, Brady, it's a short show. What's coming up today? What's going on?
Well, we'll talk about the Red Sox game momentarily. Then we've got Bruins talk. Zdeno Chara, should he play? We'll do that at about 5:20. 4 minute football fix. We'll talk about the Pats getting their rings. I know, Arnie, you would say, oh, the summer hours, 1 hour. I could get used to this.
I love this.
So
I could get. By the way, Ty has an interesting question. He goes, why is it when the Sox play an afternoon game, the huddle gets delayed even though 101.3 is playing Gottlieb and not the game?
Okay, so here's exactly what happens. Because I get this question a lot.
Yeah.
So if you are living in the Burlington area, if you're living in our regional coverage area, you will hear the game on our airwaves. If you are listening online, you hear Fox Sports Radio programming. And the reason why is because Major League Baseball says we cannot stream the game on the internet or on our website or through Alexa or whatever. And the reason why is because MLB has its own services it would like you to pay for. It would like you to pay for the MLB audio package, of which it makes money. And if we just gave it to you for free, then every Red Sox fan in the nation could potentially go and listen to our feed online and not buy it from Major League Baseball.
But why are we doing an internet show instead of Gottlieb? Because, you know, back in the day before you got here, when the Red Sox played, AJ and Rich did a show on the AM.
Remember yes, that? We did. Yeah. It was. We would simulcast, and whenever the Sox were playing, we would be on 960.
Yeah, that was miserable. absolutely miserable.
Yeah, it was miserable.
I had to fill it a couple times like that. I mean, there was nobody listening on to
especially,
us. On the
especially on days like this.
Oh, it was awesome.
We got a new boss. Don't put ideas in his head. What are you doing? You're the one. Arnie's the one clamoring for 30 seconds off of every show. Here we get 2 hours off, and now he's asking us, why are we not doing more online only?
I misspoke. I'm sorry about that.
And of course, Brady now has to defend us at the next meeting because you don't go to meetings, nor do I. So
I haven't been to a meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have meetings?
I don't do meetings. I'm not good at meetings.
I don't do meetings. I don't do bosses, yeah. And he doesn't do program directors.
Nothing.
The only reason
I'm 0-3.
He barely does radio. Yeah,
the only reason he even tolerates me is because I'm a co-host. That's the only reason why he tolerates me. He
pretty much.
Anyone with a program director title.
If you don't have Brady, who's going to push the buttons?
You'll push his buttons, just not these buttons.
Yes. But it's not tough to push buttons. Seriously?
It would take you a month to figure out how to do this show.
The interns learn it in like a day.
That's because they're young and they have brain cells.
Yeah. All right, Red Sox beat the Royals. Final score was 7-5. Mookie Betts has a homer. Rafael Devers continues to play well through the course of this series. Chris Sale was great yesterday. It all just collides into a sweep of the Kansas City Royals. And with that, the Red Sox are now 6 games back of the Yankees, with the Yankees still to play the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. So all in all, Sox win 7-5. Some things went very well. Some things still left some things to be desired also. But I'll start, Arnie, with you. What was your overall takeaway from the 7-5 win?
Somebody messaged us on Facebook and said, well, I can't wait to see what Arnie's going to say about Sale now. You know, say about Chris Sale now. Right. Now that he's 2-7.
That was an immense performance last night.
Beat the
it really
Royals.
Was.
I love when we say, what's your takeaway from today? And we go right to last night. I love that.
Well, this is my whole point is I get to the whole 3-game sweep here, is that when the Patriots beat a bad team, we just go, wow, they just beat up a bad team. When the Celtics beat a bad team, we go, oh, they're just awful. They're the Knicks or Cleveland. They should beat them. But all of a sudden, when the Red Sox get a sweep over a bad team, you guys are, you know, jumping from the rooftops going, yeah, we're back in it. This is it. The Red Sox have turned it around. They beat an atrocious team. They're horrible. I don't think I've seen a team this bad in ever. They're
but what do you
horrible.
Want them to do? Play some other team that's not on their schedule
got,
and lose to them?
No, they have to play who they have to play.
Hey,
they struggled today. Look, you're right, but it's not. I'm not going to say, hey, they turned it around. They've crossed the line now, and here they're ready to turn it up and catch the Yankees. They just beat the worst team in baseball 3 games in a row. When they play the Astros, they don't do that crap. When they play the Yankees, they don't go ahead and get the series there. So, you know, you're beating up on the team you should be.
Yeah, but as a Sox fan, they haven't beaten anybody, good or bad. I mean, they start off horribly.
Well,
they're 500.
Yeah,
I mean, they're a 500 team.
Look,
every series is 2-1, one way or the other. So, you know what? I don't care if they're playing the Bad News Bears. I think it's great that they won 3 games in a row against anybody.
I'm in the middle of both of you. I'm leaning towards Arnie's side on this because we haven't seen it consistently enough against good teams. You're supposed to beat the awful teams. You're supposed to beat Baltimore. You're supposed to sweep the Royals. You're supposed to demolish Seattle like you did a couple weeks ago. Those teams are bad baseball teams. You're supposed to beat the Detroits of the world. Okay, so the Red Sox got to 108 wins last year in part because they just beat up on everybody that they should. Okay, they dominated Toronto. They dominated Baltimore. They weren't doing that this year. So I'm not ready to say, oh, they're back just because of what they did against Kansas City. But hey, Sale pitched well, complete game. He threw strikes. He was efficient yesterday. You got a great bullpen performance by and large today, starting with Colton Brewer, who's going to go forgotten in this win. But the fact that he comes in the second inning and bails you out of trouble when you're down 2-0. So all that is good. I like that they won 3 games in a row. I like that they won 3 games in a row on the road. But they haven't done it consistently enough for me to say that they're back. But Rich, I'm on your side and saying, like, they need to beat the Detroits of the world. Well, they lost a doubleheader to the Detroits of the world earlier this year.
Just beat somebody. Just win 4 games in a row, which is what they've done. I don't care who those 4 games are against. You're playing 500 ball. You've barely been 500 all season. And you've got to have, I mean, how many times in this show have we said, at some point, this team has to take 9 out of 10. At some point, they have to get this going. They're a better team than that. I don't care who they beat.
They're playing Tampa this weekend, so they're playing Tampa at home. We're going to get, now Tampa's a little less good than they were at the beginning of the year.
Exactly.
They've cooled off, but still, they're a team you're directly behind in the American League East, so we need to see it this weekend against Tampa for me to be convinced that this team's ready to go on a run. But out of the series as a whole, I love what Sale did. Devers, I mean, you asked Buster yesterday if he's on his way to being a star, and he said, yeah, he's already there. I mean, the guy didn't homer for his first 32 games of the season. He's now he's got 9 in the next, you know, He's got 9 in the next 30. I mean, so he's been great. He was player of the month in the American League. That is great. Bullpen today was very good. Nunez had a big homer in the first game of the series. He had a couple hits yesterday. Benintendi finally got going a bit. He had 3 hits yesterday. Mookie homers today. There was a lot to like in this 3-game series, even though I'm not convinced it just means that they're back.
I'll tell you when they've turned the corner. The Cubs get a go-ahead, and they get Kimbrel. They're getting Kimbrel because they're like, hey, we're in first place by with the Brewers. We're going to make a run at it this year. We're going to try to win a World Series. We got a piece. Keuchel, you know, we're going to go ahead and make a move. We're going to go ahead and make a piece. The Red Sox aren't saying that yet. Because if the Red Sox were playing better baseball against better teams, maybe their front office would have said, you know what, we can't have a bullpen like this. Let's go ahead and get Kimbrel back, or let's go ahead and get a closer, or let's get somebody else. But they haven't shown that they can play against good teams, so why should they do that? That's why the Cubs did that, though, right? You could see why the Cubs went ahead and got Kimbrel now, because they're like, hey, we're a damn good team. We want to make a World Series run.
I don't want to make the deal that they made for Kimbrel, 3 years, $43 million. Mm. That's too much. That's too rich for my blood. And forget the luxury tax and all that stuff. That stuff is a concern to the Red Sox. But if it's just about the player, that's not a move I would want. Keiko's not a guy that I would want even, really.
But they would go out and get themselves somebody also to get them over the hump, because you know the Yankees are going to make a move also.
I just think there's so many sellers, as Buster told us, because there's so many bad teams that they're going to be able to go out on the trade market. Now, they're not flush with prospects to maybe go get someone elite, but look at the last couple of years, they go get Addison Reed, they go get Brad Ziegler the year before that. So they've made some moves in the past that would show you that they're not just going to stand pat if they're in this thing. They can deal from the upper level of their minors or from the lowest level of their minors for some prospects, but hey, I don't see them making a huge move in the trade market, but there's going to be so many sellers that it's going to be a great buyer's market, Buster told us.
Right, and I'm not sure I would want Kimbrel the way he pitched the last third of the season last year, coming out of the bullpen at any point, especially when he hasn't pitched in how many months now. But the thing is, Arnie, you got to wait if you're the Red Sox. I understand why they haven't pulled the trigger on anything yet, because they don't know what they are. You know, you've got to establish what you are. Are you a 500 team?
Well, you think
are you
after
30
this,
games? Are you a playoff team? What are they?
You think after this Royal sweep, they're set in the right direction
yes,
now?
Of course. They've won 4 in a row. That's a good start. But like I said, you can't win 4 in a row. You got to win 11 out of 13 at some point. The other thing that we're not talking about, and you said how, of course, the Red Sox swept on the road. They should have. Look what the Yankees are doing right now. A team that never loses has gone to an awful Blue Jays team and lost 2 in a row.
Yeah, so, but they're understandable. They've got a lot of injuries. Even though they've overcome the injuries, you knew it was going to catch up to them sooner or later.
Really? I was starting to wonder. They never lose. So, I mean, and the other thing to think about with this Red Sox sweep, I don't care who it's against. And what I also care, I do care about, is the fact that the team ahead in first place in the American League East has lost 2 in a row. So, gain ground, chip away.
I'm not saying it's bad to win. Don't get me wrong.
To only be 6 games back right now with a potential to be 5.5 back if the Yankees lose again tonight. After what we saw this weekend and losing 2 out of 3, that'd be a pretty huge accomplishment.
Remember we were talking about, if they lose this game on Sunday, they'll be in double figures behind. Right. Yeah. Now they're 6 games out with a chance at 5.5 by Thursday.
Let's also 802-655-6672. How are you feeling about the Red Sox after this sweep? You can text in or call in at the same number. Look, it wasn't all rosy today. 7-5. Yeah. There were things that do worry you. One, Matt Barnes in the ninth inning. He played kind of Russian roulette with the lead there in the ninth inning, giving up a run and we're on the edge of your seat, seeing that they were going to hold on and win. So he wasn't great. So that's something that I wouldn't be concerned about it, but it's worth noting at least that he wasn't locked down. JD Martinez left the game again. Yep. Okay? He left the game with back spasms. This has happened to him quite a bit in the last 2 to 3 weeks. He missed 4 games in May with back spasms, and now he leaves again after the 4th inning. Look, he hit well overall in this series for the most part, but now, I don't think this is going to land him on the IL, but as you start talking about this season and do you want to sign him long term if he opts out and what do you want from long term with JD Martinez? Well, back spasms, they keep creeping up on him. It's something that's noteworthy.
And the problem with things like back spasms is you have no idea when they're going to show up. Like basically what you just said. I mean, you can't really IL him because for half of those 10 days, he's probably fine and you're just not using him. And so you're right. When you're talking about extensions of contracts, this is about the worst thing you can have, where it just keeps cropping up. Who knows?
Although in Arnie's mind, he'll twist it and say it's a positive that Martinez keeps getting back spasms, because then he'll opt into his contract with the Red Sox and they'll get him again next year no matter what.
I've started to think he's going to opt in no matter what. I wouldn't chance it in this type of market after what I've seen. I'm not so sure I want to go in and play that game right now.
Even
I,
as good as he is.
Oh, he's fantastic. But that Kimbrel was fantastic also.
Is somebody going to blow him away with an offer? Well, what the offer does. Well, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody can...
No, J.D. Martinez, yes. If he opts into his deal, he will play for the Red Sox. Okay.
And how much is the opt-in deal?
Yeah, what's that opt-in?
It's $22 million a year.
Okay, well, that's not too shabby.
So it's 20.
I guess he's not going anywhere.
If he's opting in, he can opt out after the second year, the third year, and the fourth year of his deal. So he can keep opting in or keep opting
out. For $22 million, I'm not in a hurry.
It was five. His original deal with Boston, if he stayed through the life of it, is 5 years for $110. So the goal would be, could he go out again and get 5 years for $120, 5 years for $130. I don't know. Could he extend with Boston at a higher number? I mean, those are the real options.
Yeah, and like you said, though, is it an extra $10 million? And after you pay taxes and your agent, you're getting 50 cents on the dollar. No, I think I'm okay with the $22 million next year. Thank you. I think I'm going to go another condo shopping. No, I don't think he's going to opt out. I think that's crazy. By the way, were you guys surprised as I was when Duffy got hit in the leg and he comes back and pitches?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, my goodness. Where's the team doctor? That guy comes out limping, gets lit up like a Christmas tree, gives up, what, four runs in that inning, and just has to limp away from the whole thing.
And how hard is it to watch Kansas City? Just noticing on Kauffman Stadium is 70% empty in these games.
I thought it was a pretty good crowd.
Today wasn't bad. It was a beautiful day, and they had great weather for all three games. But I just keep thinking about the Hal McRae, Brett Saberhagen days. And
aren't we still in school? Should there be a ton of people at a 1 o'clock game?
Okay, but I'm talking about the last two nights.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Brady's right, beautiful nights. It's graduation time. It's the end of the year. People are taking their finals. The kids aren't quite.
You know, it's a noon game on a Thursday while kids are in school.
And the road team has a day off the next day, so it's a little bit of a surprise. On getaway day.
And the last 2 days, a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night? You know, you're not going to pack it in when the kids are still in school.
Correction, the Red Sox are home tomorrow. Yes. My bad.
And the team is, the team is dreadful. The team is dreadful. That speaks to the point you're talking about. But again, I don't know if you're ever going to get a huge crowd for an awful team on a Thursday of the school year in the middle of the work.
By the way, what happened? This team was in the World Series how long ago?
4 years ago.
Yeah, what happened?
They won it.
It just goes to show you. You see, when I say I don't give all these guys the big money, that's what's killing these small market teams, because all their good guys probably, and I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure that they left, took bigger money once they become big stars, and they get to go to, the Yankees or the Mets
Moustakas is now in Milwaukee.
They traded him.
That was a trade. And Eric Hosmer.
They traded him because they knew they couldn't afford him? Is that the way? Because they were having a down year?
They traded him because they were so bad, and he was not going to be part of their future when they were good. So
Eric Hosmer, they had no option. Their San Diego came out of absolutely nowhere with a ridiculously high offer. What are you going to do if you're a small market team like that on a Hosmer?
That's what I just said.
And Lorenzo Cain signed a big deal with Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's
not a big market.
No, they're not a big market. I'm surprised they would let him lose to Milwaukee, but Kansas City.
He had been with Milwaukee originally. Yeah.
That's just sad. Dennis Leonard, remember that?
Oh, sure.
Al
all those
Herbosky.
Guys. Yep.
I mean, geez, what a pitching staff they had.
They were an absolute, I wouldn't call it a dynasty because they didn't win it every year, but I mean, they were always good. Always. It seemed like they were in the World Series five, six times out of like a 10-year period.
Saberhagen, right?
Yep.
Wow.
And Quisenberry out of the bullpen.
Just unbelievable. Tough for a tire. Text line 802-655-6672. Off and running on this Thursday. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Zdeno Chara might actually play today.
Wow.
Should he be playing?
I reported that yesterday. We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 the game.
The Brady.
Call or text at 802-655-6672. Tweet us at 101.3 the game. Send us a Facebook message. However you want. 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on this Thursday. By the way, real quick, Brady, Travis and Milton says, last time I checked, San Diego's not a large market either. How could they get the money to afford Machado? Where did they get that money from?
Yeah, and Hosmer.
Well, they're just willing to open new ownership, willing to open up the purse strings.
But they were also so low to begin with, too, weren't they, that...
They really only had one expensive player.
They were like one of the, shortest payrolls. They barely had anything out there. So, you always wonder how these small market teams are going to get the money. And real quick, what was that breaking news about? Well, it wasn't breaking news, but it came down earlier about the part owner of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah,
I love this.
Mark Stevens has been banned from NBA games for 1 year and fined $500,000 for pushing Kyle Lowry yesterday.
The part owner of the team can't go to his team's games.
Can't go to any games.
I love it.
Let me ask you this. Was he fined $500,000 personally, or was that an NBA fine?
Because I think the whole thing was NBA.
No, I think, that's got to be an NBA fine, so they're fining him as an owner. I would have fined them $5 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, he makes $500,000 in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, you don't put your hands on a player. Who does he think he is, by the way? I'm actually starting to think that maybe it was just like a reactionary thing. And that maybe
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think he knew exactly what he was doing?
Yeah, because he didn't even get a fit. He didn't get run into.
Right.
There was two women that got run into, of which they kind of patted Lowry on the back, hey, we're all good. Hope you're good. Like, you know, seem more friendly there. He was kind of on the outskirts, and he kind of got up and made a point to push Lowry.
I don't know what he was thinking. And there was another guy who had him by the jersey on the back, but then he like go and patted him on the back. I'm like, what are you even holding onto his jersey for, sir?
This is going to get worse before it gets better. If you're going to put fans right on the court, this is what you're getting.
Oh, believe me, I'm surprised nobody's like had a cup full of beer just and smack into everybody. If I was sitting in those seats, I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't drink, I wouldn't do anything. You
never stick your leg out, that's for sure.
Oh my goodness, you can't do any of that.
Hey, mistake of the day, you can get in 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms on Heinenberg Drive in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. Game 5 Stanley Cup Final tonight, series tied, 2 games apiece. We have it for you. Blues in Boston taking on the Bees, 7:30 right here on 101.3 The Game. Despite a broken jaw, it looks like Zdeno Chara might actually play today.
I love hockey.
He was on the ice for the early skate. He may play. Bruce Cassidy says it's a game time decision. Let me just lay it out for you here. Zdeno Chara has a broken jaw. He cannot open his mouth, and he cannot speak. So
the captain.
So a guy who needs now cannot talk, cannot communicate with his teammates, cannot breathe without breathing through his nose, needs to play at the highest level, and is going to help the Bruins win tonight. So 802-655-6672. Is it a good idea for Chara to play tonight, given that?
Of course, it's a great idea. I mean, here's a guy that, and you want to talk about people that we say, you want to get them out there with injuries. I mean, are we going to say the same thing about Klay Thompson when he comes out there? I mean, if Kevin Durant came out there and limped out, we'd say, what a warrior. Yep. How great that is. He's limping out.
He'd give you
10 minutes of Willis Reed,
yes.
I mean, you want a guy like this. And look, if he's not getting it done, they're not going to give him a lot of minutes. And I'm sure they're going to curtail his minutes to begin with anyway. But for a guy with his jaw wired shut, and
it's not wired shut.
Oh, I thought they said it was wired shut and he couldn't talk.
He can't open it. It's not wired. He has not had surgery that we know of yet.
I heard today that it was wired shut and that he couldn't talk and that he couldn't answer questions at the skate around and had to write it on the chalkboard. I just think this is fantastic. I would certainly limit his minutes. I don't think he has to communicate verbally because, you know, they've been together for so long and he's played the game for so long. I think, you know, they could communicate to him and he'll be fine. Look, obviously he's going to be hurt. How many guys in the NFL play hurt?
Yep.
How many guys in the NBA play hurt? So, you know, obviously this is a little bit more severe injury, but I mean, hey, good for him.
Yeah, this is. What are we going to remember if the Bruins win the Stanley Cup this year about the 2019 Stanley Cup? That was the year Chara broke his jaw and played. That's this is the turning point of the series right now. So as a Bruins fan, I couldn't care less whether he has a broken jaw or not, or whether he can't talk, because I think this is going to rally the troops. And all I care about is them winning.
Look, this is a mythical gladiator thing. I'm with you on that. But can we step back from being the Bruins fanboy and at least ask a couple of questions here that are logical? Because it's serious here. I mean, let's ask some logical questions. And people know hockey far greater than me, so feel free to call in and educate me on this. If you're a defenseman, isn't part of being a defenseman being able to communicate with your teammates? Isn't that, don't you want this? Rich, you're telling me before, we can just point at things. I'm sorry that the other defensemen and the other players on the ice are looking at the puck or other players, not just looking for Chara's hand signals.
Yeah, but don't you think after 100-plus games together, they've got it figured out by now without one guy being able to talk?
20-plus years of the NHL?
If they had it figured out, they wouldn't have been beaten to a pulp in Game 4.
Well, I don't blame that on Chara missing.
So I'm just saying, It's a Herculean effort. It is mythical. If they win this game, if they win the cup, yes, and he plays, this will go down as a heroic performance unlike anything we've seen in ages for the Bruins. I get that. But if they lose this game by a goal because Chara can't communicate with his teammates and because he can't breathe properly because he's having to breathe through his nose and can't open his damn mouth, aren't you going to be sitting here saying tomorrow, why the hell did he play? The decision to play just cost us the game, potentially.
When you say he can't communicate, let me see if this is a good analogy. Tell me if you agree with this. You know when a football team's going to go a place where it's really loud and in practice they'll turn up the speakers and I'm doing the loud thing, but they'll turn up the speakers. The quarterback can't yell the plays or audible them because the receivers can't hear them, so they'll do hand signals, kind of like the same thing there. And the quarterback, can you imagine a quarterback not being able to communicate with his wide receivers or offensive linemen by voice? I think that's 10 times harder than not being able to talk as a defenseman? Is that unfair?
I think it's unfair because there's a stoppage in play naturally in football.
Yes.
Where everyone's going to stop and look at Tom Brady or
But he's still got to do hand signals because it's so loud.
Yes, but they're all looking at him and they all know what those hand signals mean. The minute that the rest of the players on the ice stop and try to find Chara, well, hey, the puck is now past you and you're giving up a goal.
Yeah, but look, if Chara's got a broken leg and he feels like being hero boy tonight and he goes out there and plays and Blues just skate right past him and score goals, that's a problem. But a broken jaw, I think you can deal with. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, if you have the right equipment, I don't think that deters you from playing your game, a broken jaw, as opposed to a broken leg.
How about being physical and trying to lay the body, and you're protective of the fact that you have a broken jaw?
Look, I'll give you that, and I think what's going to happen is they're going to keep they're going to keep a very close eye on him. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Chara played 8 or 10 minutes tonight.
Okay, so now we're going to put a compromised player on the ice, and someone else is going to play 22 minutes instead.
Well, no, you're putting a compromised guy who would normally have played 23, 24 minutes because Chara wasn't going to play at all, who now only has to play 12 or 13.
Right, but Chara was going to play 18 to 20 if he was completely healthy. Now he's going to play 8, and everyone else has to pick up his slack.
Right, but if he's not there, then that guy would have had to play 25 minutes, Ventainen or whatever the guy's name is.
At least it's somebody who's completely healthy. If you're putting now, or you're going to carry 7 defensemen instead of 6, and you're going to take away a forward and risk losing scoring opportunities because you got to cover for Chara. Look, it's Herculean that he's playing. I can't sit here and say it's the smartest thing in the world for the team.
I just think mentally, fanboy or whatever you want to call it, that I love the fact that he's playing because I think mentally this is going to go a long way towards Bruins' success.
We got a lot on the Tom Fair Tire text line. Let's start at the beginning. Mike and Swan, it will serve as an inspiration. Ty says, if Chara plays tonight, first scrum, he's in. I'm punching him in the mouth. If I'm a Blues forward, it'll be 2 minutes worth it. He's right about that one. Jack and Winooski says, it's the championship. Yes, you play. Tyler and Williston, if the Bruins go on to win the cup, this will be the Bruins version of the bloody sock. Instant folklore. I like that. Josh in Plattsburgh, it would screw with the minds of the Blues players. Broken jaw, can't even put him out. Crazy. Tyler says, obviously it's a horrible idea to play, but that just shows you what love Chara has for the game, and he's just leading by example of a true captain. Another person, broken jaw equals bloody sock. All right, now we're going to get ripped here. Mike says, of course Arnie would say it's a good idea. Hockey's a sport where you need to breathe easily. Also, he has some stinker plays where he's gotten burned. Also, Rich, this could be the turning point if he blows it. So I guess Mike and Shelburne not liking I.
No, and he's on me about how do you breathe enough? Why not play someone else? I mean, believe me, doctors are clearing him to play. If he can't breathe, he's not going to get cleared. And if he can't breathe, he's playing about 1 minute.
And Brady, somebody takes a shot at you. First time texter. It says, Brady worrying just demonstrates why he's on the radio and not on the mound.
Well, you know exactly what my response to that will be, right, Arnie?
Come on the podcast.
Exactly.
Come on the podcast. Who's on the line?
A couple of calls. Ty in Canada's on line one.
Oh, Ty, what's going on, Ty?
Ty, what's up?
Wow.
Okay, Ty ghosted us. How about Doug in Hinesburg?
Doug, how you doing, Doug? You're on 101.3 The Game. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mine's pretty quick. So what happens with Chara tonight? If somebody takes a run at him, is he off limits? And if so, if someone does take a run at him, how do you think the Bruins are going
to
react?
Off limits to who? Off limits to the Blues?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I mean, is he no one can touch him tonight? Is
no, he's got a bullseye. Look, I appreciate the call. A couple things. One, he's got a bullseye on his back. Two, if I'm the Blues, I'm not worried about Chara anyway.
Right.
I'm going to do what I did to win the last game. I'm worried about winning a Stanley Cup. Chara on defense, if you're going to worry about a guy like that, then what you're doing is you're not worrying about the whole game plan. Right. Don't worry about Chara.
Right, you're just not playing their game.
Yeah, just play your game. That you got a best of three right now. The last thing they're thinking about is how to get a Chara and punch him in the jaw. They're thinking about how they're going to go to the net and take a bunch of shots on goal.
I guarantee you if Chara's collecting the puck in the corner and somebody says, oh, wait a minute, from St. Louis, that's Chara, I can't hit him. That's never going to happen. They'll hit him as hard as they want.
Of course. And think about this. This is a good point we didn't bring up. Jason in St. Albans says, if they get another injury on the defense, remember they've lost Chara at a point during this game and during this series, and were severely compromised. They lost Grzelcyk in game two and were severely compromised. So if you have Chara dressed and somebody else on the defense gets hurt, I mean, how compromised are you at that point?
Well, that's why you have seven defensemen dressing for this game.
Wait a minute. I asked you yesterday. I said, should we rip Cassidy for not dressing an extra defenseman? And you laughed at me.
So what I'm saying is this, though. Again, look, I'm with you all on the text line. This would be a gargantuan effort. This will go down as the bloody sock. You are all right in saying that. But again, it begs to, you have to at least answer the questions of, is at some point the reward not as great as the risk in playing him? If he's not able to play at peak level, does he hurt the team? If you have to dress seven defensemen to compensate for his lack of being able to play 20 minutes like he usually would, then if you compromise your ability to score, and you haven't been able to score so very easily at this in 5-on-5 all series long. So if you take out a forward, have you cost yourself an ability to score? And then if somebody else gets hurt, now you've got Chara. And you're playing really a man and a half short. Those are real questions here.
No, well, first of all, anybody gets hurt, you're going to be a man short when you play six to begin with. That's why they're bringing seven defensemen, because they have a man who's like a half a man down. That's just natural. You don't need the extra man on offense. You've got four good lines. You're going to be fine offensively. It was a luxury, but you don't need that luxury. You'll be fine. You need that luxury on defense. You need that extra half guy out there.
I mean, I would rather have but your scenario, which is a terrible one for Boston, obviously, would be that another defenseman gets hurt early in the game or in the game at some point tonight. And then you have half of Chara, so you got five and a half defensemen. But they basically had five and a half defensemen for all of game four. And it was an issue.
I mean, look, it's great to think about the Willis Reed effort. It's great to think about Chara playing and it working and inspiring the team and it winning the Stanley Cup for the Bruins. That certainly is possible. But it's also possible that when the guy who's thrown four consecutive days out of the bullpen and his arm is hanging by a thread and he comes out and he just wants to gut it out and he's throwing 89 instead of 99 and he gets hit for three doubles and a homer and you lose the game, that's possible too.
I'll flip that on you. We go bull. Are you serious? Are you serious with that analogy? Did we not applaud Sale? Look what he's doing. He's pitching out of relief on, 2 hours rest.
But
he's we do the same thing on Kershaw. Clay Kershaw's a starter, and he's pitching in the 12th inning.
But we also acknowledge that for Eovaldi last year, that him being hurt this year could very well be the payoff of him pitching so much last year, that he took a huge risk by doing it, by pitching as much as he did a year ago. Now, it worked for him, so he got the big contract, he got the long-term security, but if he goes out in the World Series and pitches as much as he did and he gets hammered around, he's hurt himself individually and the Red Sox.
But if Sale if Sale comes in like he did and got hit around, we wouldn't even have said anything. We'd just say, you shouldn't have brought him in. He pitched the day before.
Exactly, like I'm saying now. No, maybe you shouldn't be playing Chara, that he wants to.
But I don't think it's going to affect his contract. And by the way, the difference here is if you put in Sale, that's it. All or nothing. Chara, you could put in a little bit here, a little bit there, take his minutes away. If he's not up to snuff, then you put him on the bench and you've got the sixth defenseman. It's not like a quarterback. If he's not up to snuff, you've got to make a change. That kind of affects everything. You could just limit his minutes it's in the NBA. If Klay Thompson wants to play, you put him out there. If after 5-10 minutes he's not doing well, you go back on the bench.
Well, that's why you have the seven defensemen, because you can't count on Chara for big minutes. So therefore, if Chara fails and isn't able to go, you've still got six defensemen. I mean, and by the way, Mike in Shelburne, yes, how do you dress an extra D? He says, you have to sit a forward. My answer is correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly what will happen.
Jess in Burlington says, as someone who has broken their jaw and had it wired shut, you can still breathe through your mouth. It's not like your mouth and lips are sealed.
I got to find the exact wording on this because I believe that it was written that he cannot open his mouth.
I heard a report this today that it was wired shut and that he couldn't talk in the post-game conference and he had to write his answers on the board. That's what they said on, had it been on the Red Sox okay. games, I was listening to that.
Here you go.
Yeah.
NHL PR confirms Chara can't talk or open his mouth. Okay.
Can he play?
Yeah. It does not. The words I'm reading do not say wired shut.
Well, that's what
it,
can he be Chara without talking? That's what I want
to
know.
In sure order for his jaw to be wired shut, he would have had to have had surgery. That surgery would knock him out from playing. So no, my guess is he has not had surgery.
Well, that's not my report. I'll say Nesson because Nesson's the one that reported that. So I mean, they could have been wrong then. I don't know what to say about that.
I'm not under the impression that he's had his jaw wired shut because I'm not under the impression that he's had surgery.
I don't know how long that would take. But even if he did have a wired shot or not, I'd be fine with him out there.
This would be a different scenario, I think, different outcome if this were the first round of the playoffs.
Chris, he's
only got, at most, three more games to get through this.
Chris in Essex, bad analogy, pitcher influences the game more than one D-man. I just got moved here. No matter how big he is.
Ty in Canada, that's why he's smart. That's why he's been on the podcast. Go ahead, Arnie, read it.
Sorry, Mike.
The one above.
My point was going to be as heroic and romantic as him playing is he's a, what does it say? He's a major liability.
Instead of an asset. He thinks that he's saying by playing tonight in his conditions, Adano Chara is a liability, not an asset.
By playing in his condition. By playing in a couple of shifts so we can see how good he is out there.
So he can maybe spell a little bit
of relief to some of the defensemen.
What are you going
to
do? Are you going to put him on the power play only and say, okay, on the penalty kill rather? Hey, you'll only play penalty kill today, so you won't play that many minutes, but now we're going to play undermanned and shorthanded, and we're going to be compromised
You're not undermanned. You still got your sixth defenseman.
I saw one thought that said, what if they only put him on the penalty kill? Well, now you're a man short on the penalty kill unit because you're playing 5-on-4 when you're in the penalty kill situation.
Right. Okay, I see that.
And you're compromised because you got half a player in Chara. So now it's really 3.5 people playing on the penalty kill.
That wasn't my idea.
How about we drop the puck and see what happens, boys?
Yeah, I'm not going with that. Look, if you can get out there, like we always say about football players, basketball players, you get out there, and especially with a hockey player, if it's not going well for you, you're a defenseman. Hopefully it won't cost him in a goal. You get him out there. But if he's doing well and he can go through the pain, get out there. And, you know, you're playing in the Stanley Cup. This isn't probably the last time you may have to get to this point. 802-655-6672, getting a lot on the Tom Fair Tire text line. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
4 minute football fix.
That's next. You're in the huddle. What do we point to the game?
Maple Pepper.
The Patriots are coming off another Super Bowl. And the Giants are looking to get back to relevance. We know the season is a ways away, but there's never an off-season for talking football. It's the 4 Minute Football Fix on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, let's cancel the 4 Minute Football Fix for the day. We got too much Chara.
Yeah, we have a good 4 Minute Football Fix, so we'll save it for tomorrow. And we also got calls. So if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Ty got back on the line from Canada. Ty, good afternoon. You're in the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. What's going on, Ty?
How you guys doing?
Hey, Ty.
Hey, Ty.
Hello. Yeah, it sounds great that Chara's going to play, but when Boston loses because he's in the lineup, I don't want to hear it on the show tomorrow.
Well, we're not going to blame it on him.
He won't from me.
Yeah.
If they lose because of him, you will.
No, it's not if they lose because of him. They're going to lose in spite of him. What's going to happen if he dresses? He's going to play maybe 5 shifts, realize he can't go, and then Boston's going to be down to 5 defensemen again, just like they were in game 4.
Yeah, except they're dressing seven, but yeah.
4, and Cliff going to have to play more minutes than they really should at this time of year. And you saw what happened in game 4 when that happened. They spent most of the time in their own end. And if I remember correctly, St. Louis had about a half a dozen shifts where they were like 3 minutes or more just cycling the puck on the Bruins. Hard to win a hockey game when you're in your own end the whole time.
All right. I appreciate the call, Ty. First of all, was he running or was riding in the car?
He was breathlessly driving.
Maybe he was being like most Quebec drivers
going 130 miles an hour on the interstate.
Wow. So. Two, they're dressing 7 defensemen, which means they have a 1 leeway there. So that means they have it down to 6. If something should happen to Char and he can't play, they'll have their normal amount of defensemen.
Right, that guy we can't even pronounce will probably score the winning goal. Vaskaninen or whatever his name is.
I mean, and you think about, and Greslick might play today. So that is one positive out of this that, hey, maybe Greslick dresses and Chara dresses, and you do get kind of two half players into one whole one. That is a thought. Bruce Cassidy says both players are game time decisions. I would not be. I'm expecting Chara to play. Grizzlick, I think, is closer to 50-50.
I just think with the seven guys dressing on the D, this is a much ado about nothing. The only thing it could possibly hurt is getting, you know, having to run out some of the forwards a little bit extra, maybe an extra minute and a half of ice time. I don't see the panic here. If Chara can only go 10 minutes, then you have a sixth defenseman going the extra 10.
Well, you know, I guess, like, if we find out, like, a defensive back is hurt, then Tom Brady's going to throw at that defensive back and go after him.
Yeah.
If there's a Blues forward coming, you know, and you got Chara back, instead of taking a long shot, I may kind of go after him, see if I could skate around them or, you know, go behind the net and see if I could, you know, wrap around or something like that. Maybe I'm not going to fire from a long way, but I think I could take him now because he's old, he's got a major injury, and maybe I go after him. I don't know, maybe I go after him if I'm the Blues forward.
And then there's the side thought of this whole thing, and I don't think it's a huge deal, but all you people who play hockey tell me it's a big deal. Chara's going to have to play with this bubble on his face now. And for a guy who was grandfathered into the rule of not even having to play with any kind of shield, that's a big adjustment for a guy's peripheral vision in that now he's playing with a bubble, which he's never played with before in the NHL. So, again, I've never thought that's a huge deal to have a visor that covers your whole face, but people who play say, yeah, that's a big adjustment.
Mike wants us to know that you guys are ignoring the fact that Chara's been a liability prior to the injury at times. No, he has been a liability, but you dance with who brung you. Well, we're not making any trades now, that's for sure.
I think the panic in the streets in Boston over the Chara injury is the fact that his leadership skills, and he is the captain, and I think that's what they're worried about. And the fact that he's, to me, this is much more about a mental advantage for the Bruins. Just the fact that he's there. They tried it the other night, right after he breaks his jaw, he's still sitting out there on the bench. They were trying to gain an upper hand mentally.
Suppose this was Brad Marchand, would you say the same thing? Oh, he shouldn't get out there and play. Don't give it a try. Or would you say, wow, that's great that if it was somebody like him or Bergeron?
Of course I would say I love that these guys are trying to play. Right. It's what makes hockey great. It's what separates it from the other sports. I love the competitiveness. But at some point, the team doctors and the coaching staff need to maybe save the player from himself.
By the way, Ty, in Canada, just an update, because I know you want to know. He says, I was ripping out bicep curls while driving and talking on the Bluetooth. just to fill you in on the details.
But Brady, I think that everybody would be 100% behind someone like Marchand or Bergeron if they had their jaw broken and they were going to play. People were like, this is the best thing ever. That's going to be great. We've got Marchand. We're going to win the game. Nobody would be talking about, wow, what's going to happen if he can't play or he's going to lower his minutes.
If I got a running back who's got a broken hand and he's going to go out there and fumble the football twice and we lose the game, do I want that guy playing?
No, but if you can get out there, you know, go ahead and loop around out there. You want to get in 802-655-6672. Last story, Stanley, coming up next. You're in the huddle. What do we play through the game?
For one last piece of news, gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
I've never seen a story like this before.
Well, that's saying something.
No, I'm serious about this one. This takes place in Romania, in a Romanian city of Orsova. An ambulance worker, okay? This guy gets an accident, passes out. I don't know what happens. He's unconscious. The ambulance picks up the guy. They have to put an oxygen mask on the guy.
Okay.
And they got to rush him to the hospital.
All right. Sounds normal.
The guy's maybe on his deathbed. He's unconscious. They got the oxygen mask on. That's when one of the other paramedics said, hey, take a video of this. And he takes out a sausage and starts hitting the unconscious patient on the top of the head, saying,
with a sausage.
With the sausage.
Why?
It's just like, you know, you want some sausage, you drunkard. And he starts taunting, and he starts hitting the guy with the sausage on the top of his head.
And he's unconscious.
He's unconscious.
But
they're videotaping this. No.
Oh, he didn't wake up.
They're videotaping this.
You're crying.
I am crying because who decides they're going to take you're trying to save the guy's life and he, hey, videotape me. taking a sausage, hitting the guy on top of the head while he's unconscious with a gas mask on.
I hope I won't pass out in Romania anytime soon.
I don't think I want to go on an ambulance with this guy.
Weird. He thinks stuff is really funny, then we just sit here and go, huh?
You didn't think that was funny?
It's okay.
He's hitting him on top of the head and stuff like that?
Part of it is that we don't know what's ever coming next because he doesn't ever share with us the last story.
No, but
that's his big secret.
Hitting him with a salami sausage on top of the head while he's unconscious?
That's a little bizarre.
Just something else?
Salami. I thought you were going to say he woke up.
No, he didn't wake up.
But a salami sausage? Isn't salami its own thing and sausage its own thing?
One says a sausage and the guy goes, you want some salami too? Take one to the head, you drunkard, and hit some with it.
I hope they're now unemployed.
Those are riches. Those are the kind of people Rich hangs out with on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything for a laugh.
In the old North End.
Rich.
You be nice to my boys.
Tell everybody where they can find the Bruins game.
Oh, right here. Funny you mentioned that. 7:30 pregame. Game 5. Go Blues. Did I just say
that?
Well, what happened was I was halfway between Bruins and halfway between Black and Gold, and it came out Blues.
Well.
And then the Yankees in Toronto at 6:27 on VMT.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
The Champlain Valley.